Hello everyone and welcome to Toonami Therapy on October 8th of 2020. I am Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we're here to talk about some of the stuff we've been watching, the anime we've been watching, some of which is on Toonami. Let's see, so we have some quick news. They have announced they're going to be having something called Gemusetsu Death Beats, which will be... Weirdly, it does not come the week after JoJo's last episode. It is the week after the week after that. So I don't know if they'll like
the week after the week.
Yeah. So I don't know exactly what if they'll have something in the intervening week or whatever. Also, apparently Black Clover is at least temporarily going to be taken off sometime in like the week after next week. Wait, did I say that other thing? When I said the week after next week, did I say that other show was premiering? No, I was talking the week after next week, and that's the... Okay, before I get people, before I take so long trying to explain this stuff, that this podcast gets delayed until the week after next week, we'll just get into our shows. So, we've got JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Golden Wind, episode 36. So, they're still dealing with the sort of Silver Chariot Requiem thing. But the important thing is they're trying to figure out where in the world Diavolo is. And they managed to deduce that he must be possessing one of them. Which they... And they managed to figure out that it was Mista. Yeah, it was Mista. Technically it would have been Trish because she's in Mista's body. So, but whatever. They get that, and he's attacking them and such. So they kind of get into that, and then they're trying to fight over getting the arrow because that's like become the one ring, I guess. It looks like Diavolo might be getting it at the end of the episode.
It seemed like not much really got progressed from last episode to this episode. It was so much of this like speculation, like, oh, is that Diavolo or is that him? Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, I felt like they could have sped it up a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Although I actually did see someone explain, now I finally actually understand King Crimson. Sort of. Okay, so basically, here's its actual power. What it does is that it skips forward 10 seconds in the future. It's like if you're watching a video on YouTube and you just suddenly push it forward 10 seconds. The 10 seconds happens, it's just you don't have any memory of what happened in it. You, like, just were still going on auto, like, everyone acted as they normally do, but you don't have any memory of what happened in that time period. So that's why there was all that stuff with the blood, because that way you could tell if time had skipped forward, because there would be more blood if it was dripping out of your hand. So that's his power, and it gives him, like, some special abilities during that time period, because he's the only one who is still in control during that. So you can, like, see the... Now, you know, here's where things get confusing, where the joke, how does it work? It just works, comes in. Because the series, apparently, is really inconsistent with how the rules within that time period work. Like, apparently he can't be hurt, except he can be hurt. And he can't hurt others, except for the times he does hurt others. So, but the important thing is that I do finally understand, okay, he just basically skips past that time for everyone, and everyone else forgets what happens during that period. Like that one Futurama episode, but I don't think you've seen much Futurama, so you probably don't know it.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
Yeah. I did.
But. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say another amusing observation someone pointed out. So they pointed out how the last few JoJo like final bosses have all had the ability of like a CD or a tape player. Dio had pause. Akira, well, you didn't really were watching at this point, but he has the ability to replay. And now and Diavolo has skip. And apparently, the guy from the next part has fast forward. I don't know. They just said
it seems that Diavolo. Yeah, it seems like Diavolo is affecting our connection right now too, because I seem to be cutting out. I seem to be losing audio every like 5 seconds or so.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So now that I understand it a little better, that's more useful, even if it is still like JoJo has never been consistent about much of anything, really. Okay. So in this Assassination Classroom, Episode 6, which has a lot of the classroom, but not really any of the assassination. So basically, Koro-sensei is telling them that they should prove themselves to be smart and good and stuff, and wants everyone to place in the top 50, which seems like a kind of incredible requirement, considering there's like, what, 20 of them or something? But then the last... But then, because as we know, the principal wants to keep Class 3E at the bottom to, you know, like incentivize everyone else, so he just kind of changes the test at the last minute, but gives special instructions to all the other people about it. So they're able to do great. Class 3E does not manage to get into the top 50, except for Karma. But then Koro-sensei's decides because of that, oh well, I guess I'll stick around instead of speeding off like I said if you didn't do it. And so yeah, a lot of classroom, not much assassination.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out, like, there's like how many kids in the class, like 20, and he wants them all to finish in the top 40, and 50. It's like, that is a ridiculous ratio, you know. I mean, even if Koro-sensei did a great job teaching with them, it would still be highly unlikely for all 20 of them to get within the top 40, because you figure Class E must mean there's at least 5 classes. So that was a kind of ridiculous idea. I don't understand. Also, I don't understand. Yeah, Koro-sensei can go at 20 Mach or whatever it is, but the students can't. So how can they learn things whenever he is teaching them for a fraction of a second? You know, like, he may be able to teach it, but they aren't going to be able to learn it. You know what I mean?
Well, I think what we were supposed to take it is that he's using that Mach speed so he could be in front of multiple students at once and teach them. And since he's moving so quickly between each of them, it would mean that from their perspective, he would just be in front of them telling them stuff. But from his perspective, it would be like he would spend like 1/10 of a second in front of one, start saying something, move to the next one, say something else, move to that the next one, start saying something else, and then moving back to that original one and continuing what he was saying, and then it would make the appearance of it working or something like that. Which doesn't really make much sense.
Yeah.
But I think that's what we were supposed to be getting. You know, like, if I were to talk to you and someone else, and I would, if I were talking to you, and I would start, like, if I were to say, yes to you and no to them. So with you, I would go, yeah. Then I would dart over there and go, no. Nah. Then I would come back here and go, eh. And then I would go back there and go, oh. And then I'd come back here and go, s. And I'd be going so fast that I would be doing that, but I would be going so fast that to you and the other person I was talking to, it would sound like I was saying yes and no.
Oh, okay. I can almost get that.
Yeah,
I'm trying to comprehend a Mach 20 character.
Yeah. I don't know. Did you have anything else to say about it?
No, that's about it.
Okay. It was kind of fun. I mean, but yeah. So then we got Black Clover episode 134. Okay. So I know I've been saying, okay, this is like filler, but it covers stuff that was supposed to happen during this time skip canonically. And I'm just thinking, I'm pretty sure that none of the stuff we've seen so far, except I guess for some of the opening stuff with the captains at the start, like actually really happened in terms of like mattering. Cause this one is just like, oh, we're just going to spend some time with kids and get a little fun bit of backstory for Fuego Leone and Mario Leona, but that's kind of it for them.
Yeah.
It's weird. Cause I know there is some important stuff that happens during this time skip. Like some character, I think it's engaged or something during this. So I'm just like, okay, that's something important, but we aren't focusing on any of the actual stuff. It's just like, hey, we've got, we're going to entertain some kids.
Yeah. Yeah. This episode wasn't too interesting to me. It was like, okay, this is funny and stuff, but it just didn't feel very, very important, you know?
Yeah, because, well, it wasn't. Although we do have, we do see that, like, that old nun from that previous arc, again, which just, like, brings up, that's like a question. Okay, so there are nuns in this world, and they apparently do take vows of chastity. So, but why? Well, what is the purpose? Because in the real world, like, the reason for all that, you know, vows of chastity and celibacy was because, okay, it allows them to devote all their attention to religion and God and such. But what religion do they follow here?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
we have never got, there's like a church, there's priests, what is the belief then? It's just weird to integrate that with, except without any of the reasons for it. Okay, but yeah, unfortunately not terribly much to say about that. Okay, so then we have Tales of the Abyss. You've got episodes 19 and 20. So first, this was the first time I actually noticed something, which is that there's a part in the theme song where the scenes are different for each episode and it shows stuff from the episode. I never noticed that before now.
You haven't noticed that yet.
Well, to be fair, half of the time I skip past the theme song, so.
Okay. That's in every episode. Also, in the closing song, they always have the same exact scenes in the closing song of the episode before.
Okay. Well, it's just I saw it, and then I was like, oh wait, I don't remember seeing these things. Were these, did they like change it for the because of like, you know, this is kind of a second chapter, and then I was like looking and then I like investigated. I'm like, oh wow, it actually is just different for each episode. This is stuff from the episode, huh? So I felt stupid. So we find out that Arietta is alive, which might have been a bigger twist if not for the fact that on the image for episode 20 you see her on Funimation's website. So we find out that Anise has actually been a spy for Moses whole time because she was threatening her parents because they got her them out of debt or something like that, which is just, and I'm going to be honest, I'm thinking, well, that's a twist, except it's resolved the same episode it gets brought up in. So was there any real, so yeah. I'm just, what was the reason for this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it felt like a retcon to me.
Yeah, because I, well, so last time I mentioned that I spoiled myself on something by accident, and that was that she had been his spy. I'm like, and then I looked and I thought, okay, it's revealed in the next episode, so I didn't get too much. But then, like I said, this barely even seems to be a plot twist because it doesn't, because it gets resolved by oh, we rescue the parents and everything's okay now. I mean, okay, Ion died, but you know that it wasn't critical to have the spy thing for that. So, we get. Yeah. So we get, oh yeah, Ion died, which was a surprise to me because I didn't really look too much at the game. I just assumed Ion was a playable character, but he's not.
Yeah, yeah, I've known that for a while now that he was an NPC, but I did not know that he was going to die. I thought, for some reason, I thought he'd still be around, so, yeah.
Yeah, so he gets, so that happens. Let's see. I think there's something. So they need to there. So then we get to next episode, and Arietta is super angry at Anise for killing, for helping Ion die, which leaves me, which is just. Before this before these episodes, did we know that Arietta had some kind of connection to Ion?
No, we didn't. Not why I didn't. So,
I mean, it might have been, maybe it was something that was mentioned when she first showed up, but yeah. Then wasn't mentioned after words. So,
but it was like. They made it out like she had this like really deep connection to him, like he taught her how to read and stuff. It was like, I mean, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, and so basically, so she's angry at Anise, and they end up doing a fight to the death, and Arietta loses, although it's not clear. I mean. And then she like falls down from a height, falls onto her head from a height that I think should have killed her immediately. but of course we get the whole like, you know, scene of her like seeing Ion and stuff and all the blah, blah, that stuff. The point is she dies and what's his name? Largo, like just kind of takes your body and just goes, well, I'm going to kill you all later on, but not now because, you know, this was a big boss fight, so you should probably go and save or something now.
Go to the Pokemon Center.
Yeah, go to the inn.
So, these episodes were really weird, in my opinion, because first you got Anise kind of like, oh, she's been a spy this whole time, which like felt so much like a retcon. And then it was like, well, actually, the only reason she did it is because, you know, her parents owe all this money and. It was just really weird. And then the whole thing about Arietta, like, we got to have a duel to the death. It was just like, okay, we need to finish this boss once and for all. So we need to have this this boss battle, which I'm interested to see how that plays out in the game. Like, do you have your whole group fight her or something? I don't know. But yeah, these episodes were just really weird to me. And I was like, okay, I enjoyed that, but it didn't make much sense to me. So,
my big problem is that we're just suddenly, because, I mean, we just get all this stuff with Arrietta, and it's just like, wow, this is a whole lot of character stuff that maybe it could have built up more. Because I like, here's what I remembered of her. She, like, just shows up, and she apparently knew Anise, because Anise calls her Gloomietta. Then she's angry at them because they killed the liger that was, like, the liger that attacked them and they killed was the one that raised her or something. And then she just kind of shows up a few times as the bad guy afterwards. And that's kind of it. I just can't help but feel like, I'm left wondering, like, that was it. And suddenly it's like, oh, well, here's all this important stuff. And I don't know, maybe this stuff was built up better in the game. That's what I was wondering. Because, like I mentioned, when we have the big thing that we find out, oh, this is why Guy is afraid of women. Wait, he was afraid of women? And my brother told me, yeah, that happened throughout the game. So I'm just wondering, when I have stuff like this, I'm just left wondering, was this something that was much better developed in the game?
Yeah, that's, I'm wondering too. But I would think that the game would have less time to explain things and spend more time on battles, you know? So, that's something to think about. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not. I wonder, how long is Tales of the Abyss the game? The Abyss game length. Someone's like says it's about 25 to 30 hours, but you know, of course, a lot of that is going to be battles. So if you cut that in half, for example, then that would actually be about the length of the show, I would think. So that makes things a little surprising.
Yeah, you're right.
Then again, I mean, they do have battles in the anime. It's just they're usually kind of quick.
The battles in the anime are always over within a couple of minutes.
Okay. Also, I notice again, when Natalia says, like, Ash's name, he always goes, Ashu. It keeps sounding like Achu to me.
Keeps sounding like she's sneezing.
Yeah. Okay. So that was that. Then we're on to Ghost in the Shell, episode 30. Actually, here's something. So before anything else, I noticed that this I remember how in the first season, I haven't really been paying that much attention to this so far in this season, but in the first season, they always had on the title screen, they would like say standalone episode or complex episode, you know, to show like, okay, this is the ones where they're just kind of off having an adventure. This is the stuff where they're investigating the Laughing Man. And this one said dual episode, which I think was new. I think it's maybe because like the general plot is standalone, but they do have stuff like that presumably will relate to the larger overall plot. Okay, but it's the episode. So there's some sort of live fire exercise going on with a bunch of these helicopters, but the pilot for one of them dies, so the AI takes over, except the AI won't, like, return to base and manages to get a bunch of other helicopters to kind of swoop around it. So it's up to them to try Section 9 to be able stop them before they just crash onto the ground and possibly hit people. They get new some guy who works at the Bureau of Whatchamacallit. His name is or Cabin and Intelligence Service, that's it, whose name is Goda, who has a weird face. So he kind of gets put in charge, and they manage to stop the whole thing. There's some really funny stuff with the Tachikoma, where they try to claim they have a stomach ache to get out of it. You know, I realize.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm always cutting you off. You say what you wanted to say.
No, I'm saying I'm glad that you explained what happened to me, because aside from the Tachikomas, I was a little confused on pretty much everything that happened in this episode.
Okay. Anyway, but to just quickly finish it up, they get it all done, but they start to wonder if maybe this was kind of a conspiracy to try to increase paranoia among people or something like that. Yeah. You know, I just suddenly thought, so the Tachikoma, how they were acting, I was just suddenly thinking, okay, have you ever seen any of those, like, Lucas the Spider videos on YouTube?
Lucas the Spider?
Yeah. They're like these short, like maybe 30 to 60 seconds thing that just show these random adventures of perhaps the most adorable spider I've ever seen. Okay, well, I was just like noticing the Tachikoma, they're Lucas. They act like him and being like sort of charmingly innocent, although unlike Lucas, they, you know, have machine guns attached to them and stuff. And they even kind of look like spiders. So, I mean, I would almost think that they were like an inspiration, maybe.
Yeah, possibly.
Okay. So, yeah, I enjoyed the episode. I know that Goda guy shows up again. I know he's an important thing, at least in the early episodes, because I got that far the first time around. So I'm going to be interested to see more of him and find out, like, you know, oh, is he, like, actually the bad guy? Is he kind of good and bad? Is he actually good and he just comes across as sinister or what?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm more. This one wasn't my type of episode. You know, I kind of enjoy stuff more like the last episode. So, yeah, this one just was a little too confusing for me, because there was so much talk about we don't want the media to to find out and all this stuff. And I'm like, you know, let's just get to the Tachikoma. So, yeah. Yeah, it wasn't bad, but it just wasn't my type of episode. So, yeah.
Okay. So, then we've got the last one. We've got Attack on Titan, episode 52. So we spend like the first half of the episode on a flashback.
Yeah.
Where it says, where it confirms that Reiner, Bertholdt, and Annie were the ones who killed Marco. Although it's weird because I can't remember if this was... I know part of this flashback was shown earlier in the anime, where this was the first time I think it was officially stated in the manga. So this wasn't quite as much, I guess, of a reveal as it was there. Also, I'm sorry, I'm always interrupting my descriptions with my editorials, but so. What's happening is Reiner and Bertholdt are talking to each other, and they're like saying, "Oh man, my type. They opened that hole we made. Well, I can turn into my Titan, blah blah blah." So then Marco's like, "Guys, what are you talking about? You made the hole? Your Titan?" And you know, and Reiner just like, "That was a joke." and Marco's like, "Okay, well, don't joke around. We should get." Moving, and he kind of takes off, but then they like realize, oh well, we can't let him have know that. So then they, you know, grab him and take his gear off and just let a Titan kill him. And it, but here's the thing. So Reiner says, like, I can't let you go. You're too sharp to fall for that. I'm thinking, I don't know if he's that sharp. I mean, he was dumb enough to, like, say to you that he heard all that. He, and when the Titan's coming, he doesn't at least try to, you know, jump in, try to take refuge in the house, you know, by going into the window that's literally right next to him. So I don't know if Marco was that smart after all.
Yeah. Remember how big a deal they made over Marco's death? Like, they made out like he was like the main character of the So Who Died. And I was like, who's Marco? So, I mean, they made such a huge deal over it.
I think he gave an inspirational speech to Gene at one point. Mm-hmm. Okay. So then we get back to the present. Reiner, as it turns out, did not die because he managed to, what did he say? He spread his consciousness among his nervous system. See, this is why they call him the Plot Armor Titan.
Really, they do.
Yeah, people like people. That's a joke.
Oh, yeah, you told me that last.
Yeah.
You said that last week, but I thought you were just joking. Okay, so they really do call him that.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. Look, he got this big flashback, and he didn't die right afterwards. Right. Like, you need plot armor to survive. You need special armor to survive not being killed right after a big flashback like that in anime. Okay. So we're back at the present and stuff. So Bertholdt shows up. He and Armin talk for a bit, and then he just says, okay, enough talking. I was just, and he was like, well, why were you talking? And he was just like, I guess it was to prove that I wasn't afraid or something. I don't know. It kind of felt like we just needed to fill up space or something. but then he turns into the Colossal Titan, causes a big explosion, possibly takes out everyone other than Aaron and his group. And there's actually a really funny exchange where, like, John, like, goes, are you guys alive? And Connie says, hell if I know. Are you? Okay. And so now they're trying to figure out what's going to happen because they now have the giant Colossal Titan to deal with. And if they don't stop him, then he'll, you know, be able to cut off the escape route and take out all the other scouts that are on the other side of the wall.
Yeah, so I had some problems with this episode. One of them was that whole negotiation thing. It was like, okay, Armin's going to negotiate with Bertholdt. And Bertholdt's like, all I want is for everyone inside the walls to die. It's like, that's negotiating? Like, all you want is for all those people to die. That's it. Including you guys. That's all I want. Okay?
Well, no. Be fair. Yeah. Let's be fair. He didn't want. He did not want everyone to die. He wanted Aaron to survive so he could be captured.
Oh, right. Yeah, I was like, that is so stupid. And I was hoping, there was like 10 times during this episode, I kept thinking, okay, there's going to be a crazy twist and this is going to get really good. And it never happened. And it was just like, okay, you know, typical shonen stuff. And I just kept on hoping for a twist, like maybe Reiner and Bertholdt are doing this for a good purpose or something. And every time it was just like, nope, we're just having typical Usual Sonnen and stuff. And then I complained about it on Twitter and got someone mad at me. So yeah, I just expect more out of this. I thought it was going to be a lot better than it has been. It hasn't been terrible. But it's the problem with it is it hasn't taken that next step. It hasn't become, you know, like a classic or anything. It's just been like, okay, yeah, they're going to fight. There's going to be explosions. There's going to be screaming. There's going to be determined people, but we're never going to get to that point where it becomes really good. So, yeah, I'm kind of disappointed, but I'm not really surprised. So, yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it.
Well, I think I liked it a little more than you did. It was mostly the flashback I thought was kind of dull, but at the same time, that's because I already knew about it. So I was like trying to think, well, did I dislike it more because I'm like, oh, I already know all this. Come on, let's just get past this. I think I was more interested in it the first time I read it, so I'm not sure. But rest of the episode I liked a little more. I want to mention once again that this series does have a very good soundtrack. I'm talking about like within the show itself, like the music it plays is good. Its usage of music is good. I like all of that. I did like the way this is really feeling like it's like the culmination of stuff. They're getting stuff together. They're really getting into what seems to be the final battle, except it is not the final battle because we have another season going on to go. So. But yeah, I think it is, the later stuff that, I really enjoyed in this arc. So we'll see when we get there.
Okay. Yeah. I'm still holding out hope, but I'm kind of like, yeah, this just feels like the same old stuff, but I still have hope that, because we still have quite a few episodes to go. So it's not like I'm bailing on the series. I'm just like, come on, this has got to get better.
I mean,
it's not bad either. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying it's just not really, really good like I was hoping it would be, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's definitely, there's one thing we can agree on. It's much better than the first half of this season.
Yeah. And if what you're telling me is true, it's a lot better than what season 4 is going to be.
Yeah, season 4 is, I don't know. It's weird because the manga is not done yet. It's still going on, and yet the next season of the anime is premiering in December. So, to be fair, the manga is obviously close to a conclusion, so it'll probably be like Full Metal Alchemist, where the manga finishes before the anime, like a month or two before the anime finishes. But it would be mm-hmm. funny if the author was like, actually, this stuff is taking me a bit longer than I expected. The anime is actually going to finish before the manga does. Okay. So, yeah, I won't say too much about like season, I mean, we'll get to season 4 and then we can, see it. All right.
Well, it'll be on Toonami. Yeah. I'm sure.
So. Oh yeah. It'll be on Toonami. Attack on Titan usually gets put on maybe a month after it was in Japan. So we'll probably see it in January.
Well, if we have to speed up our watching, I'll be glad to do so. But I'm not sure what pace we're on.
Oh, we'll be done with season 3 before season 4 is aired on Toonami. That's like basically certain.
Okay, good. Just wanted to know. So, not a bad episode, but just not as good as I was hoping it to be.
Okay. So that's where we can finish it. I guess we can give our top threes. You know, one problem I keep finding is that it's harder for me to rank the things because we watched the Toonami stuff back on Saturday, so my memories have faded a bit, and then I'm comparing to the stuff that's much more fresh in my memory.
Yeah, that is kind of a difficulty. I didn't think of that because I was thinking about it. Like the last few weeks, I haven't put any Toonami stuff on there, and I've been like, why am I? No, I did put JoJo. That's right. But I 2 out of 3. So let's see. I think that I will put. I will give Attack on Titan third place, even though I was disappointed. Second place, I'll give to JoJo, and then first place will be Tales of the Abyss, even though it was weird and kind of dumb at times. I still ended up enjoying it the most, so I think it has to be number one.
Oh, that surprises me, because you made a remark to me in email about how those episodes were so weird, I kind of wish I hadn't watched them.
Yeah, well, they were, because it was like, I was like, this doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, so Anis is like, so she's a spy this whole time, right? I mean, it was like, I don't know. It was weird.
Okay. So for me, I'll put for third JoJo, then for second Ghost in the Shell, and then for, I'm sorry, no, second will be Attack on Titan, first will be Ghost in the Shell.
Mm-hmm.
I just enjoyed them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's that for the stuff we watched this week. let's see. We do have Black Clover this week, but apparently it's getting taken off at least temporarily after that, because I assume dubbing has been delayed due to, you know, diseases and stuff. So we'll see. So we'll see how, when it comes back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll also actually be, originally we were planning to maybe wait for a dub or something, but it seems like we'll actually be starting to cover some of the Yashahime, you know, the Inuyasha sequel series. So it actually already started. So we'll be doing the first two episodes next week.
Yep. That's right. Okay. The first episode I thought was really good. So,
I mean,
if you're a fan of the original show, you'll like the first episode. Okay. So.
I mean, you can reorder your top three and include that someplace if you want.
Well, it would have definitely been number one, but that's not really fair to include it in here. It definitely would have been number one. That was my favorite thing I've seen this week. But yeah.
Okay, so yeah, we'll start with that, and now that we've said all of that stuff, we might as well move on. So we'll see you next week.
Bye, me.